When love enters a person's life, that person can never be the same again. Love is so powerful, so transformative, that it literally enhances each moment with a renewed purpose, with a new taste that satisfies the deepest hunger and longings of the heart. But when I speak about love, I'm not talking about the sense of some infatuation or passing feeling. I'm talking about a person. And so whenever I do weddings, it's at this point where the bride and groom might turn to each other and give each other like a knowing smile, like, "Oh, honey, Father Kurt's talking about us. Like, when you entered into my life and changed everything." But then I'm usually like, "I'm sorry to have to burst your bubble, but when I say love is a person that enters your life, I'm not actually referring to either of you, but to Jesus." And it's so true, because love incarnate, love made flesh, is Jesus Christ, the one who has chosen to dwell among us and be in our midst. And it is only when Jesus is the center of our lives that we can all then follow our vocation to love and to experience true love that lasts. A couple years ago, I was reading about a couple from Iowa, Gordon and Norma, who had been married 72 years, and all the news agencies and television stations were intrigued by their story, not only because they had accomplished a seemingly rare feat these days of being married to each other for 72 years, but also because of the interesting circumstances of their death. Unfortunately, the two, shortly after their 72nd anniversary, had been in a car accident and were rushed to the hospital. The nurses knew that it would be wrong to separate them, so therefore, badly hurt and with a faint heartbeat, Gordon and Norma lay side by side in the hospital bed. Gordon had his hand entwined in the hand of his beloved wife, Norma. Their son, Dennis, stood beside his parents' bedside as he witnessed his father, Gordon, take his last breath. However, after Gordon stopped breathing, his son was puzzled because the machine next to his father was still registering a heartbeat coming from him. Granted, it was very faint. But looking at breathing, but the heart monitor still registers a faint heartbeat. And the nurse smiled sadly and replied, "Your father is holding your mother's hand. It is her heartbeat that is vibrating through his body that the machine is subtly heartbeat faintly going through her husband's body. She too passed away, still holding her hand in his." And so it is with love and what it should be. Love stays. Love holds on. Love doesn't have time limits. And even sometimes when it is difficult to go on, true love takes over for the other and continues for the other, even when the other cannot go on by themselves, like the beat of one's heart vibrating through the body of another. People say that it's no use trying to argue that a stick is crooked simply by noting its contours and misshapen angles. Rather, the easiest way to put a straight is to put a straight stick next to a crooked stick and let the truth present itself. It's almost the same thing with marriage. It's lawful for a husband to divorce his wife. But rather than going through all the arguments Jesus could have made of why it would be unlawful, Jesus instead calls attention to how marriage should always be by describing. He says, "God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." He then adds, "Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." Jesus, in describing God's original intention, just placed the straight stick next to the crooked stick of the Pharisees and left them speechless. Yet this teaching, even in Jesus' time, was hard to accept. It's especially difficult when the world says, whenever there's an ordeal, just get a new deal. Or when our culture says, if it doesn't work out, just bail out. That's why Jesus' teaching on marriage at this point won't be fully understood until he eventually shows the entire world what true love looks like. That of being willing to lay down his life on the cross even for people who did not want to love him in return. Jesus shows us that marriage has to be based in him if it wants to survive and not dependent on our passing feelings. And true love for someone entails being willing to sacrifice, sometimes even everything, for the other. He had been married to his wife for some years and had 6 children. However, later in their lives, God blessed them with a 7th child, born with an extra 18th chromosome in every cell of her body, a condition deemed by the doctors to be quote-unquote incompatible with life. And while the struggle was hard on him both and his wife to be raising a child that was told that would require constant care and would likely die within a few weeks, the father said, "To have a child with special needs is a tremendous cross and challenge. But through her, God has taught me to love unconditionally. And as parents, you do love unconditionally. But my daughter has taught me that I had to do this every single day, every hour of the day, when we had to wake up every hour to take care of her life." And so he said, it's one thing to love unconditionally when those moments come up. But it's another thing in every moment to require that commitment. It was a cross, but he said it was also the greatest blessing of my life. See what sacrificial love looks like. If Jesus is at the center of our married love, that is what naturally flows from the sacrificial love. This ability to say please, the ability to say thank you, the ability to say I'm sorry. Because true love does not impose itself with hardness and aggression, but it enters with a gentle invitation, a plea to keep alive your awareness that the other person beside you is a gift from God. If you're with your spouse right now, turn to that spouse right now and say, you're a gift from God. Come on, I don't hear you. Even when you have to wake up to that person every single morning, day in and day out, and experience morning breath from them. And lastly, forgiveness, right? In our lives, we make many errors, many mistakes, we all do. And that's why we have to be able to say, I'm sorry. Because Jesus' entire life, and even the image of the cross, while it's an image of love, is also an image of forgiveness. And that's the image of the straight stick of marriage. Marriage rooted in Christ's sacrificial love. And by entrusting our lives to the one who is love, this particular vocation of marriage is possible. It will last. And if more and more husbands and wives conform themselves to this type of sacrificial love, they will eventually conform themselves to Jesus, the one who is love, and who fills our deepest desires and longings for life.